Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, issues that you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family. And today we have the pleasure to be with Professor Sayyid Salman Lakhavi, who is a faculty member at Al-Mustafa University, Qom. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum assalam. So we have been discussing about etiquette and manners of dress code that should be taught to teenagers. And Professor Salman Lakhavi has been helping us. So Professor, when it comes to dress codes, you told us in the previous episode that imitation should be first of all stopped. We should be teaching our teenagers not to be copying every third person, especially the West, especially the TV, especially the films, especially the serials, especially the social media figures. So imitating is not a good one. And then there were some more things you want to talk about dress code. So we would like to listen.
Just recently I was listening to the, looking at the papers, and there's a royal marriage in one of the Arab states recently. And one of the royal family members from a European state was invited. All of them were invited from all over the world. Now, the dress that this lady of a royal family from a European country wore a special costume, which was designed by an Asian designer. And she had given out this this order to many designers, European and American and whatever. And this Asian lady was chosen for the design she made
for her.
So look at the extravagance that we go to. The 1% people of the world, the celebrities we have, they carry out this fashionable way of living. And what is it causing in our society? People, our children,
competition.
They want to imitate them. They want to be like them. And this is, as I was saying previously also, this westernized capitalist way of living is where it's a source of making money. It's an investment. The more fashionable you are. Now, this designer, she was also felt very, very much, she felt that
glad,
look, I have been chosen from amongst the designers of the world to design a costume for a royal family member who's going to attend the royal family marriage in another,
country.
So this is how this mindset is, this imagination is, it's caused in our downtrodden masses. They want to imitate them. So this is how they make money. So it's a capitalist society. So this the costumes, those who show off your body parts, they want people to be, seduced into wearing these things. So the designer makes money, the person who makes those clothes. You're being sold, exactly. I mean, your mind is being captured to make you follow a special way of living, a special way of dressing, a code of life which is extravagant, which needs money to be spent.
Exactly.
Now, when your children, when they are exposed to such a way of life, they want to imitate it. Now you have to make money as a parent to get them this type of, you know, costume. To make money, if you follow the halal ways, the rightful ways, you may not be able to do that. As a result of that, you may be forced to do things which you are not, which are not allowed, which are not. They may be even not according to your dignity. You're a teacher or your guide. You're a person who can't make so much money, but you're forced to do things which you're not supposed. So it's all a vicious cycle, which is caused by this way of life, this
exactly.
capitalist, extravagant way of life.
Exactly. So, I was so much interested in your discussion, I forgot to take a break. So let's take a short break and we'll be back in a while.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are with Professor Salman Akavi, and we are discussing the importance of dress code that should be taught to teenagers. And Professor Salman Akavi is helping us with that. Well, Professor, you told us about this competition, the fashion, the trends that are going on, that's actually changing our minds. Money is being used as a tool to make us tool in return. We are being sold without even the fact that we get understood what is happening with us. Well, talking about neatness and cleanliness, when it comes to being religious, like sometimes your teens would avoid being introduced as a religious person in the society or among his friends, because unfortunately, what in many of the societies, especially in the backward ones, is represented as a religious person. He wears lengthy clothes, they are not fit, they even don't get time to change, or they are so much into ibadah, or their dresses should go, like if it's women, their dresses, the abayas should go under their feet, and so on and so forth. How correct is this Islamically, and how we can attract our teens again to not feel shy, to be, you know, expressing themselves as coming from a religious family?
So, unfortunately, these are the two extremes which we are faced with and we experience and encounter in our daily lives. We have people who are completely, you know, they want to follow the fashion and the trend of the world. And on the other hand, there are people who want to become religious and they completely shun all of it. No, it should be something in between. Yes, as a good practicing Muslim, we should be neat and tidy. We should take care of our dress. The dress we wear should be, you know, washed regularly. And people shouldn't be thrown away from you or, you know, rejected. They may not reject you because of the smell that's coming from you, because of maybe your clothes are not clean, your body is not clean, you don't go to the bath every day or regularly, you're not taking care of your cleanliness, your hygiene. So people are put off by you. They think that religion is causing this. That's not the religion. Religion talks about being clean regularly.
Yeah.
Clipping your nails, or maybe if you have a beard, it should be tidy. If your moustache should be tidy, your hair should be tidy.
It should be organized.
It should be organized. It should be neat. It should be clean. You're not supposed to attract people. You're not supposed to be attractive, but you're not also supposed to be oppressive. You shouldn't
reflect yourself in a way that people, when look at you, they'll say, "Oh, how oppressive Islam is."
Yes, you shouldn't feel. You shouldn't put people off.
Right.
So in all cases, your dignity as a human being should be
reflected
in. It should be maintained in your dress code, in your being neat and tidy and clean. Using perfumes, your scent should be nice. People should be feel nice being around you.
Exactly. Our Prophet, peace be upon him, would spend most of his money in buying the perfumes. And we'll discuss more on this after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. We have Professor Salman Naqvi with us, and we're discussing how to teach the sense of dress code, especially the Islamic one, to your teenagers. Yes, Professor.
So I was saying that being a religious person does not mean that you should be repulsive. You shouldn't be in such a way that people are repelled from you. Nowadays for repelling insects, there are certain, you know, perfumes. You spray them in your house, insects are, they run off. But the other way around, you have scents and perfumes which you apply to yourself and you smell nice. So it's not, ladies shouldn't be doing so because they don't need to be attracted. But again, they shouldn't be in such a way that they repel others. Also, the main thing, let me point even this out, being dressed religiously, modestly, again, it shouldn't be in such a way that people point fingers at you. For example, in my humble opinion, one of my learned scholar teachers also mentioned this. If you go to a country like in the Indo-Pak subcontinent,
right,
and you wear the head and toe chador,
right,
in that society, people will say, "Look, she's an Iranian or she's an Iraqi."
She will become a center of attraction over there.
But if you go there, you do in Rome as the Romans do. I mean,
right.
That's not something.
That's what we call in India as jaisa desh vaisa bes.
Exactly. Like, so when you go to India, Pakistan, Kashmir, if you want to be modest, they have a modest dress
code.
They
have their own modest.
They have their chador. They have a special for that
kind
dressing should be adopted. Especially if we're from, if I'm an Iranian going to that place, that's okay. But if I'm a Pakistani or an Indian and I'm going to back to home somewhere to visit my family, I'm living abroad and going back to my family, then I should try to be modest in the way that they are modest.
Right.
So even Islam doesn't want us to be, to make people look at you and glance at you, and you shouldn't attract their attention because you're being typical, you're being a peculiar form of, you know. So Islam wants us to be normal human beings.
Modest.
Modest human beings, not attractive, but not repulsive, and not giving an image of a person who is shabby, who's a hermit, who's not concerned with what he wears, who's not concerned with how he, intermingles with people, how he talks to them, how to interact with them, what he says to them, how he smells, what his scent is. No, Islam wants us to be careful about these things also.
Exactly. Well, I think it's our taqwa that should smell very good, or that should actually be attractive rather than the apparent dressings we have. And Hajj also teaches us a lot when everyone is dressed in white, connoting a lot of messages of peace, and that there's no one wealthy, and even the dress that we wear at the time of our death. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all and also our teenagers towards modesty, towards the dress codes that Islam has taught us. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you